This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
This insert sponsored by Manna Health Products, the only 100% natural organic supplement for blood sugar control. I've waited a long time to be able to say this, so I'm very excited on this Thursday morning, right in the middle of May, to say, welcome back, Dr. Wendy Christin. Great to have you back. Wendy, I hope you had a really good break.
Thanks, Brad. It was lovely, and I'm very glad to be back as well.
And Wendy is a health coach and wellness practitioner at Integrated Health Solution. So I almost forgot where we were last time we chatted. I had to think, oh yes, it was stress awareness. We've already tackled the science of stress, and we also connected and chatted on stress and the heart. I know we also touched very briefly, Wendy, if I'm right, on stress and digestion the last time we connected.
That's correct, yes.
So for those of you who missed out on these, do go and check out the podcasts. You can find them on our app or on our website. Today, touching around stress and mental health, I had the opportunity to speak to somebody this week, Wendy, that's raising funds, doing something quite extraordinary to raise funds for men's mental health awareness. And one of the conversations that we had is, we're just not speaking up about it nearly enough. And I think when we chat to you now, we need to take care of our mental health better, and understanding stress and the effect it has on us is possibly the key to dealing with some of those mental health issues.
Yes, absolutely. And I think you're right there. I think people, there's such a stigma around mental health issues still, which is really sad. And I think people do struggle to speak up about it. And I think men more so than women. Women tend to be a bit more open about it. But there are certainly some who are still afraid to admit that they are in a difficult space. And so, I think the awareness here is very, very important.
Yeah, and things like anxiety, that makes sense to me as a connector with stress. And then, of course, if that stress isn't under control, I'm guessing that could move to something quite chronic. What else do we need to look out for?
Yeah, so we would be looking at things like anxiety, brain fog, sleep problems, and sometimes our cognitive function is affected because the chronic stress can shrink our hippocampus, which is the part of the brain that affects our memory. So we might have all sorts of different symptoms, and you can't be as sharp as you used to be, or you find that things are overwhelming. And those things become a lot more, those should be warning signs to think that I need to start paying attention here. I need to start looking at what my stress is doing to my, my daily life.
Mm. We spoke initially when we started the series around that fight or flight response. And I'm guessing if we're stuck in that high cortisol space and anxiety is high, that's when the strain, I would imagine, just becomes too much for our bodies to bear.
It does. It does. And then you start to have symptoms like, extreme anxiety, panic attacks, being unable to switch off at night, those kind of things where we think the brain just won't shut off and our hearts are racing when we get into bed at night and you think, but I'm calm, I'm relaxed, I should be able to go to sleep, but you can't because, everything is still very heightened. And so those are the things that when we have too much stress and we aren't able to regulate it well, we're going to have symptoms like that.
I mentioned cortisol now because it's something we mentioned initially. What are the effects of when those cortisol levels are just staying up there in the red? I mean, what are the long-term repercussions of that?
Well, as I said, you remain in high alert mode. So you have these racing thoughts. You can have anxiety and panic attacks. You can have a sort of chest tightness. You can have, you become hypervigilant as well. So now you're constantly on high alert. So you're feeling like you've got to watch. You can become a little bit paranoid as well. And then we can also have depression and mood swings. So because the high cortisol depletes our serotonin and dopamine, it can make us feel sad. It can make us, it can disrupt our motivation levels, and it can lead to an emotional burnout. Mm.
You said something there, brain fog. What exactly is that?
So brain fog is where you can't quite get your brain to be clear and to think clearly. So you might be forgetful. You might not be able to focus and get a project done. You might have been able to do a job in 5 or 10 minutes. Now it'll take you half an hour to do the same job. So it's just that your brain is, it's like trying to organize all the things that are, everything that we need to think about and all the things that we need to organize in our brain becomes a lot more difficult. And you have the sense of like a blanket over your eyes
Wow.
that you just feel like there's a fog in your head.
Stressful thoughts, I guess, are also one of those things that can keep us up at night and sleep are one of the things I think that'd probably be a good stress buster. But, then you're caught in this loop. You need to sleep because you're stressed, but because you're stressed, you can't sleep.
That's exactly it. Yes. So you get stuck in your sleep wake cycle gets disrupted. And so what happens is we should have high levels of cortisol in the morning, or relatively high levels of cortisol in the morning. And then that cortisol tapers off during the day. You get a little bit of a peak again in the afternoon to see you through the afternoon slump. And then it tapers back down again towards evening so that you can fall asleep. And often what happens is due to that chronic stress, that sleep-wake cycle gets turned on. So now in the morning, you can't wake up because you're too tired. You don't have enough cortisol. You don't get that little blip in the afternoon to see you through the afternoon. And then at nighttime, you have a peak of cortisol and now you're wide awake and you can't go to sleep. So we definitely don't want to be in that phase. And we see a lot of people that are like that, that you just can't switch off at night because you've got this extra, stress hormone production at nighttime.
This is quite interesting. You want to look at cortisol and you say, oh, well, you're the bad guy, but you've just made it very clear that having cortisol obviously is quite natural and it serves a very good purpose. Stress is just causing it to be the bad guy in the story.
Exactly. So anything that is in excess is problematic. When it's in balance and you're producing the right amounts, then you feel good. You feel alert in the morning. You can wake up. You can do what you need to do. But if it's out of balance, then it's going to disrupt all sorts of things. If you've got too much cortisol, you're going to have a much more inflammatory response because cortisol brings insulin along with it as well. So it
Goodness.
disrupts your blood sugar balance. And so having too much of the cortisol, which is coming from chronic stress because your body is producing lots of cortisol, is problematic in the long run.
So, how do we take care of that? How do we stabilize those cortisol levels?
So there are various ways that this can happen. So we have spoken already about the mindful breathing, the deep breathing exercises help to take us out of that fight or flight mode, because when we are under chronic stress, we breathe very shallowly. And then the body will continue to produce those stress hormones because it knows it's in a stressful environment. When we breathe deeply, it tells the brain there's not so much of a problem, so we can go back into that rest and digest state where we can be a little bit calmer and we can regulate our stress response a little bit better.
Are there foods we can eat that can help with those cortisol levels to, and that keep them in
Yes.
the way they should be as opposed to too high or too low?
Yes. So first of all, we want to be eating a nice clean diet. So if we're eating lots of sugar, it's also going to be unhealthy for our bodies. So we want to reduce things like caffeine and sugar and anything that's stimulatory in our bodies. What we want to eat is increase our intake of magnesium-rich foods. So those are our dark leafy greens, things like almonds and pumpkin seeds, and anything that is more calming for the nervous system.
What about other things like herbs? I was been quite fascinated by how many new products come on the market in sort of batches. Like there's this new, and I've been reading a lot recently. I've even seen at home we've got something with ashwagandha in it as an adaptogenic, and suddenly I'm seeing ashwagandha everywhere as it seems to be a little bit of a craze at the moment. Well, that's how I'm seeing it. You'll know better than me, but it feels like there's an ashwagandha craze at the moment.
Yes. Well, look, I think ashwagandha has been around for a very long time. But you're right, things do, they do go in cycles. But ashwagandha is really nice as a modulating. So these are called adaptogenic herbs. Some can be stimulatory, some can be calming, and some can modulate. Ashwagandha falls into that modulating category. And so if you've got too much cortisol, it reduces it. If you've got too little, it brings it back up again. So it's quite a nice, gentle one to be using. You also get herbs like rhodiola, which is a little bit more stimulatory. And I sometimes find that if people are anxious, the rhodiola can make them a little bit more anxious. So I'm quite cautious with using that. And then holy basil is another one. I think, what's the other name for holy basil? I think it's called Tulsi or something like that. But that's also quite calming and regulating for the nervous system.
Just as we wrap up this part around stress and mental health, is there something we can do with our bodies that could help with that reducing cortisol naturally? I mean, is exercise going to be helpful in the area of cortisol reduction?
Yes, so exercise is helpful, but the type and the amount of exercise is important. Because if over-exercising, we're also increasing cortisol levels. So you want to be doing exercises that are actually calming. And if you are doing stimulatory exercises, just for shorter periods of time. So running a marathon is not necessarily ideal, but doing a 5 kilometer run or jog would be fine. Doing exercises like Pilates or yoga, which also incorporate breathing techniques, it will also be beneficial. Stretching exercises, those kind of things are very good for us to be doing if we're struggling with cortisol imbalances. The other thing that we can do is that we can expose ourselves to, if we want to get to help get that sleep-wake cycle back into balance, is to expose ourselves to morning sunlight. So if we get up in the morning, we want to wake up our pineal gland and remind it that it is morning, because the pineal gland is responsible for producing melatonin at nighttime. And when we're exposed to sunlight in the morning, it helps reset that circadian rhythm. So the body realizes it's morning time now. And then in the evening as well, so that your body is getting back into that regulatory state, and then avoiding the blue light and the cell phones and all of those things in the evenings as well, which also disrupts melatonin production.
Yeah, great to have Dr. Wendy Christian back with us. She's a health coach and wellness practitioner at Integrated Health Solution. Dr. Wendy, thank you for your time this morning. Always lovely to have your voice on the radio. And now we realize how much we missed it. Enjoy your week and the warm, sunshiny, summery kind of day. And we'll connect again next week.
Thanks so much, Brad. Have a great day too.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.